What do you think is the greatest drive in man, my friends? Is it survival? Is it sex? Or is it, worship? All right, let's look at that. Colin Cook here, How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women who struggle with their humanity, whether it's over a job or over a relationship or over health or finances, all the troubles that face us, and then the internal conflicts, my friends, where we have compulsive behaviors or obsessive thoughts. How does God take us? How does he receive us in all of this mess and conflict we are in? We find Christ, who is our righteousness, who is our peace before God, our reconciliation, and we train our faith to trust him in the process. Ah, that's what it's all about, so that's what we're looking at as we go through the book of Romans. Now then, we're in chapter 1. This incredibly fascinating and paradoxical and upside-down message that Paul has for us here. And I said something at the beginning of this broadcast that may have surprised you in a way, or that you most likely might have misunderstood, that the greatest drive in man is worship. Where do I get that from? Well, look, we're in Romans, and Chapter 1 says that God, because of man's desire to suppress him by our sinfulness, by our sinful acts, we suppress him, God has handed us over. Because, you see, when we suppress him, the mind becomes incredibly dark. Our thinking becomes meaningless, futile, as it says in verse 21, and our thoughts become distorted and darkened. I mean, our emotions, our hearts become distorted and darkened. We have kinky ideas, thoughts, and desires. We have distorted emotions. We hate when we should love. We are envious when we should be happy for somebody. We have all kinds of incredible distortions in our mind. So I call this the dark mind. Once a human being has suppressed God, he enters a dark mind, for God is light, you see, and in him is life. So when we have that darkness, we find it intolerable. It is simply something that we cannot live with. Remember, God has given us this in his tough love. We chose to suppress him, and so in his loving wrath, his wrath being to hand us over to what we chose instead of him, we find ourselves in this incredible darkness. So what do? We exchange the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and we worship it. Birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Oh, yeah. Tell that, Colin, to the pagans over there in the East. But don't tell it to us. We're not pagans. Ah, wait a minute. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And so, you see, mankind, you and I, in other words, do not reject God. The world does not reject God. They exchange him. There's no such thing as an atheist. Simply people who exchange God for something else to worship. This is where I come to that conclusion that I started this broadcast with, that the greatest drive in man is worship. Survival is a great drive. But the desire to collapse the soul before an ultimate being of glory and safety and joy, and to worship that is our drive. But we have suppressed it. We push it back. And the more we push it back, the more we need the worship, because without worship, there is no sense of our self-identity. There is no sense of who we are. We're not divine beings ourselves. We need to worship, but we've blocked God. This drive, this soul drive to adore, is gone. So what do? Well, we worship other people. We worship things. And so you see, the greatest drive in man, my friend, is worship. And the greatest sin is worship. This is where Romans is stunning in its upside-down, inside-out, unexpected message. You see, we think that Romans chapter 1 is listing this category of sins, homosexuality to start off with, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and the list goes on. And we start preaching to people about that, as if they had a sin that we did not. But that is not, those are not the greatest sins. They are sins, they are things we have to work with and work on, but the greatest sin revealed in the book of Romans, the greatest sin revealed in the book of Romans is worship. For we must have an idol that represents security to us, joy to us, the numinous, the glory beyond us. We must have that. And if we block it out, if we block God out, this urge within us is still there. And so what we do then, you see, is to project, now listen to this, project upon things and people qualities and expectations that only God can give. Let me restate that. When we have blocked God, we project on things and people qualities of the divine. When we block God, we project upon things and people expectations that can come only from the divine. All right, now, having said that, you just think of this. Suppose you have an addiction. Suppose you are into drugs, drink, food, people, codependency, heterosexual, homosexual addiction. Have you noticed that very often you will try to get joy, peace, identity, satisfaction from them when you know you can only get joy, peace, satisfaction from God? This is not to say we don't enjoy people or things, but to project upon those things qualities of the divine is, of course, a disaster. Will you say, I don't know as people do that, Colin? Well, look, my friend, think of it simply. Think of the Hindu person or some other form of pagan religion who worships and prays to an idol, to a piece of wood, to a piece of metal shaped in the form of a person or a thing, to the Buddhas, to the ancestors whom they pray to. What are they doing? They are projecting qualities that only God has upon metal and wood. Now you say, well, that's stupid. Ah, yes, but let's look at our stupidity. We do the same with human beings. As a matter of fact, many married couples do the same with their spouses. They expect their spouses to produce happiness in them. And when the spouse doesn't satisfy anymore, they get looking elsewhere and maybe end up in divorce. You see, we all do it. We all seek to place upon others the peace that only God can give. We seek to place the expectations in others that only God can give. So, my friend, what is your greatest drive? Think of what you do with alcohol, drugs, food, and sex. Isn't it true that very often we go to the bottle, we go to the pot, we go to the porno, for some kind of spiritual release? Why is it that people and things, once we're in the full throes of an addiction, seem to satisfy such a deep, massive craving in the heart? Except, in a way, they don't satisfy, do they? Because as soon as we've finished with them, we want more of the same thing. But why that deep craving that is almost existentially penetrating the depths of our soul? Surely because our soul has become so empty, we are so much in the dark, that the craving, the worship craving for the soul, of the soul, is put upon those things: drugs, alcohol, food, sex. So, my friend, do you see where we are going with this? When it comes to our addictions or our struggles, we have to get to the real core. And the core is this: that I, as a human being, regularly, habitually, unconsciously, shut God out, shut him off, suppress him. The result being that my soul has an enormous gaping hole in it, an emptiness. But the emptiness is so terrible that I don't want to go back to God because I feel so guilty, so I must do more sinning in order to fill up the hole with false fulfillment, if I may use a pun there. And so my people become my gods. My things become my gods. So what ought I to be asking myself? Father, forgive me for false worship, and I open my heart to you that I might have your joy. And so as the soul becomes more light, sin becomes less necessary. Ah, my friend, the satisfaction of the true water of life instead of the stagnant pool. We're just over a week away, my friend, from a really important and valuable seminar: Sex and Self, Bringing the Two Together in Christ. Some people, you see, are learning to include their sexuality in their fellowship with Christ, while others leave it outside. The result is a division between sex and self, so that when some Christians feel sexual, they don't feel they are in Christ. And when they are in Christ, they don't feel they can allow any sexual feelings. So the result is they are divided people, never feeling sure of their relationship with God. Can we reverse this? To some degree, yes, we can. We can look at the wounds of childhood that have made us think that sex is sinful and dirty. We can resolve some of the abuse issues. We can journal them and work through the pain and the anger that way. We can look at the realities that the Scriptures give us about who we are as sexual beings in Christ, in the image of God. We can distinguish between healthy sexual feelings and sinful sexual feelings and the sinful flesh. So we can do all this, and I invite you to join me to learn about these things on Saturday, the 29th of January, at La Quinta Inn. That's 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the South Frontage Road, by the way, of West Hampden Avenue, South Frontage Road, between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Now, admission is by donation. $70 to $110 is recommended. If you can bring more, that's great. If you can't, don't worry. Bring whatever you can. All donations are gratefully accepted. Now, we start at 9 in the morning, and we go until 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. Come a little early so you can get your coffee and orange juice and settled in. I look forward to seeing you 29th of January then. Sex and Self, Bringing the Two Together in Christ. And see you next time, my friend. Cheerio, and God bless.